You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of November 1st, 2018, and check out my legendary bear pelt.
Welcome back to the Experience Points podcast. I'm George Alborn.
I'm Scott Juster.
We're the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, a serious but not humorless conversation about video games. And darn tootin', we're talking about Red Dead today.
Consarn it, God, doggies.
I don't know about you, but I genuinely feel like I start slipping into a Western, like, drawl.
You got a little twang.
Yeah, a little twang. Like, well,
you got a little hitch in your giddy
yeah,
up.
Yeah, like, hot damn. It's time to buck up and eat some supper.
I generally feel like I start stabbing people more after I play this Red Dead.
We are talking about Red Dead Redemption, our first impressions this week. It is a hefty game and one that we've been excited for and anticipating for a very long time. So we'll be doing a little bit of a debrief today. I don't think we'll jump too much into spoilers, but if you are spoiler averse for, say, anything within the first... I don't know how much time you've spent, Scott.
Gosh, but like... I'm doing things in chapter two for whatever that's worth.
Yeah.
I've probably played less than a dozen hours.
I have played probably 15 hours or so, 20 hours maybe, but I don't think anything has happened that is like huge spoilers, you know?
Right.
Turns out people are getting hunted by the Pinkertons and then
man, the those goddamn Pinkertons.
Fucking Pinkertons, man. So
where do we start?
Well, here's the thing. I think we should start right off the bat with just the general acknowledgement that bad labor practices are bad.
Yes.
Rockstar should feel bad.
Yes. Abusing your employees are bad and you should feel bad.
Yes. It is a known thing. That was a major conversation over the last couple weeks about, I think, Hauser, the CEO and lead writer, which is so weird to me.
I mean, the Hausers have been writing those things since... God, the original GTAs.
Just how weird is it, though, that, like, you know, the same writers that wrote the first Red Dead, which I really liked for the most part, also wrote some of real garbage, in my opinion, in the later GTAs, right? Yeah. So, like, to be fair, Red Dead Redemption 2 has 3 writing credits, and it's always difficult to know, like, you know, who's writing the good stuff? Is it just, like, the general arc that Hauser's involved in? I mean, there are also the runners of that studio, right? So I imagine a lot of their day-to-day work can't just be behind a computer.
Yeah, it's there was a very in-depth Kotaku article by Jason Schreier about where he talked directly to people who work at Rockstar, who used to work at Rockstar, and it was interesting because it felt, I mean, crunch is not a unique thing to Rockstar. It's just that Rockstar is like in the spotlight right now because they're releasing one of the biggest games of the year. But the thing that stuck out to me was it felt very much like people who work at Apple or Tesla or something, where it's like, oh, you know, it's crazy, but it's a badge of honor, or, you know, we really feel like what we're doing is meaning something. Like it was very, there's a big cult of personality there.
Yeah.
I'm getting.
Yeah, for sure. So anyway, all that stuff was bad. Pay your workers, unionize things. I don't know. Moving on to actual Red Dead Redemption 2, though, I think we should start a little bit with how we would divide Red Dead Redemption 2 from the rest of the open world games, or the ways that it sort of, from an ethos perspective, is so distinct. Mm-hmm. But just to say, like, I really want to talk about how unbearably slow Red Dead Redemption is.
I'm so glad you said that. I was thinking the same thing.
And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but like, you don't get out of the sort of the mountains. Basically, you don't really get out of the introduction until what? Easily 3 hours.
Yeah, well, every time I thought I was out of the introduction, more introduction happened.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even in chapter two, I even haven't gotten the sense that, like, oh, now I'm really in it, you know? Now I've kind of explored around. It's definitely opened up, but there are elements of this game that are so antithetical to the buffet of options that most open world games give you. And it's kind of staggering. It's almost remarkable that this game could have so much praise given, I mean, let's be honest, very little like effort is given to the benefit of the player who might have a difficult time like figuring out the game systems or finding enough time to really like get a grasp of this game.
I'm feeling so weird about this game right now because I'm finally, like you, I'm getting to the point where in classic Rockstar fashion, there are three main quest lines on my map at any given time. Like I can choose to do them in whatever order, you know, like there comes a point in every Rockstar game where three blips go onto the radar.
Yes.
And you can just kind of choose to go towards whatever blip you want.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where I'm at. And I've just been picking whatever blip looks interesting at the time. But to even get to that point was amazingly long.
Yeah.
I was shocked by how long it took to even get to the open world. And I was trying to remember what GTA 5 was like, and it reminded me of GTA 5.
Oh, really?
Even remember GTA 5 had that initial opening scene with a bank heist?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you were out there in the snow, I think, running from the cops.
Oh,
and
shit. Yeah, before the title card.
Right. Yeah, remember that?
I do remember that.
It feels like Red Dead basically doubled down on that.
Yeah.
Because that initial scene in when the game opens, when you're kind of on the run and you're going through, again, this like very snowy area. Yeah. There's like a fight in a small enclosed cabin. It's this weird preamble really stuck out to me.
Well, I think that the game is trying to establish a sense of like place and atmosphere mm-hmm. so early on and so consistently that it really just forces you to be there and experience it.
Yeah.
You know? And this goes for like the slow conversations you're having with people, the slow like pace of even just walking from place to place. Like mm-hmm. it's very much a simulation of being a cowboy more than you might expect from something like, I don't know, the same genre where you find Assassin's Creed, where it's not a simulation yeah. of being an assassin. You're doing whatever the fuck you want, right?
Yeah.
And that's super interesting. The other things that stick out at me that fit within that same framework, if you misplace your horse, fucking walk. You know what I mean? I don't know what to tell you, but like your horse just doesn't appear to you when you need it.
Mm.
If you leave your gun on your gun is on your horse. Like you have to go yeah. back to your horse, get your gun, and then you can go, right? Like the amount of items you have to consume in order to like maintain your both your core health and your outer health. Like there's all of these like little systems in the game that are not, I think you would say, are not user-friendly. Now,
mm-hmm.
I kind of like all of this to some extent. It feels in a way like watching a Terrence Malick movie or something, mm-hmm. you know? Like, there are times when it is so in-your-face slow, like when you just have to walk from one place or another. Or even, I've unlocked fast travel in the game. And mm-hmm. even when you yeah. fast travel, it shows your character in a... And to be fair, there's a lot of load times. It's a massive game. But
yeah.
but it shows in a very cinematic way your sort of journey from place to place to place across the map to get there, you know?
Yeah.
All hammering yeah. home just this slow plodding pace of this character.
It's really difficult for me to separate out because it does. The game does feel slow, deliberately slow in many respects. And it is a tone. It's a tool to set the tone of the game. But it's hard for me to separate out the things where it's just like... There are certain things where I feel like Rockstar has not kept up with the times,
mm-hmm.
Even to the point where some of the instructions and the tooltips for what to do are really obscure. Like they're to the upper left-hand corner of the screen.
Yeah.
They kind of pop off before you have time to read them.
Oh, yeah.
There's not much UI
I mean,
around
I died in
what
maybe
to
like
actually do.
6 to 7 duels before I realized how to fucking duel.
Right. Even when they introduced the Deadeye, it's like it's one time. It's in the very beginning of mm-hmm. the game. It's kind of a contrived sequence. And it's like, does it automatically paint targets? Do I have to? Can I paint them? Which button again was this? Like, there's some weird things where I can't tell what is what slow for the sake of being slow or what is kind of slow and opaque because this game kind of feels like a game from the early 2000s.
Yeah, it really does. And there are even like hotkeys or things that you can do optionally that I was reading in like a big Reddit thread that was basically like tips on how to have a better time with Red Dead. And things right, like yeah. If you hold down the start button, you automatically open up the map.
Oh, man. I was going to mention that. I was like, I can't believe they made a game where you couldn't one button into the map.
Yeah. So you can. They just don't tell you that. You have to find that online. I learned that today and was like, are you fucking serious right now? Well, and on top of that, yesterday, my coworkers revealed to me that when you mark a waypoint, you should have a trail leading you there. I accidentally yes. turned it off. And I didn't know that. And so I would open up the map, look at the map. Yeah. Like, I mean, this is almost like Far Cry, right? Like I'm opening up yeah. the map. I look at the map. I look at my environment and go, all right, well, fuck it. Somewhere that way, you know, and hope for right. the best.
Yep. Yeah. And it's just fascinating to compare it in this world where we have the Assassin's Creed model. We have the Far Cry model. We have the Breath of the Wild model. We have the Spider-Man model. You know, there's so many different models of open world games, and you get to just really compare them and see, even down to the slight things where like the default camera angle is such that you kind of spend more time looking at the road and you kind of spend more time looking at the radar. Whereas like in Breath of the Wild, you spend a lot of time looking at the horizon.
Yeah.
And it's just how that stuff is structured, and it's just fascinating to feel a game that is so different from a lot of
yeah.
the recent ones that have come out.
And to be fair, I think a part of that decision is just the absolute weight that Red Dead has on its sequel, you know?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
there were a lot of expectations around Red Dead Redemption 2 because the first Red Dead Redemption is a lot of people's favorite game of all time. It's certainly within yep. my top 10, right?
Yeah.
And so I think there's an element of like, you know what, if we're going to do it, we either have to do it very close to what people experienced it, right? And not just the way mm-hmm. they experienced it, but the way that they think, the way that they remember experiencing it.
Yeah.
You know, which is this, you know, large scale, atmospheric, beautiful rendering of the West. And then yeah. we're going to have to additionally take some risks and be daring with committing to the feel of Red Dead. And mm-hmm. to that sense, I'm glad, because one of the concerns I had going into Red Dead Redemption 2 is that this would feel like GTA. It would feel frivolous, full of microtransactions, full of like little opportunities to get you to go do one minigame or another, or like improve your sweet pad, all that kind of stuff. And while yeah. there are elements in there, nothing feels frivolous in the same way that it does in the GTA series at this point. And
the amount of, I think the big difference is that it just doesn't really throw that in your face yeah. where it's like, you could craft some stuff for your camp, but it's mainly if you want to,
yeah.
and you're going to have to go seek it out yourself, and you're going to have to make, it's not plastering it in front of you.
Yeah.
Which again points back towards what the entire feel and theme of the game has been so far, which is just this methodically paced openness where you have to decide what you want to be doing yeah. at any given time.
Yeah. Does that work yeah, for you? I mean, because the way that you say it, right? Like to me, I like that, right? I like the idea that when I want to upgrade my camp and I need a fucking bear skin rug or whatever, like yeah. I have to go decide, you know, look at my map. Well, there's probably bears and the grizzlies. I have to
yeah.
go buy the cover scent to hide the human scent that I give off. I have to mm-hmm. find some meat that I could put on the ground to lure the bear. I have to find the right ammunition to get a good pelt. Like there's all of these steps that I have yeah. to take that I cannot track and have this little, a nice little overlay on my screen that says like, mm-hmm. you know, one of two buckshots waiting for the bear, and here's where the bear's yeah. at, and here's how to get there, and here's how many bullets the bear will take to kill, and all here's its yep. life tracker. None of that stuff is there.
Yeah.
The
I mean, I think that's where the game, I mean, you have to be willing to go along with it. Like you have to kind of be game for the experience,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And I think that, and again, it's not one of those games. It's kind of a hard game to play in anything but at least a 1 hour chunk.
Yes. Yeah.
And that stuff I don't mind, 'cause there's something even down to like the small animation touches where in order to hitch your horse, you have to go towards the hitching post. You have to press triangle. Yeah.
Well,
Arthur
so,
swings his leg over. He hitches the horse. He walks over. You know, it's there's just so many little pieces to even the most simple task.
Yeah. Have you accidentally punched anyone yet?
No, I accidentally shot somebody.
They
didn't live to tell the tale.
The first time I was in Valentine, I accidentally kicked a dog because I was trying to figure out what the pet button was. I was like, they don't put a fucking dog. Look, it's 2018. You don't put a fucking dog in your game if I cannot pet it.
That's true.
Turns out Rockstar does put dogs in their games and you're not allowed to pet it.
What did people start yelling at you?
Yeah, people started yelling at me, and then they called the cops on me for assault. It's a fucking dog, dude. Like, what is going on? And they started, like, chasing me out of town. It was ridiculous.
You're like, this is the fucking Wild West. Well, I need to go west. There's too many laws here.
And then, like, on my way out of town, I was riding my horse so fast that it crashed into someone and murdered them. And then I got a bounty on my head for murder. And I was like, God, it's not my fault that that guy got in the way. That was the one time where the idea of paying off my bounty at the post office made sense to me. Because when Marston responded, this is all just one big misunderstanding. I was like, yeah, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's that sort of stuff is great. The sort of stuff that is more questionable to me is... Again, I'm less than 12 hours in, but I'm having a hard time determining what is necessary and what is a system for the sake of a system. Even things like the health system, or cleaning your gun.
Yeah.
Or donating money to camp. I'm like, is this necessary? Because I've ignored it for like 3 hours and nothing bad has happened.
Yeah. You should go to camp and have everyone just be fucking filthy and hungry and be like, please, Arthur.
And it's like, nope, gotta get a bear. Yeah. But I mean, but then again, it almost feels like it's there for optional role playing.
Yeah. And that's okay though, right? I mean, I love optional role playing.
It is, but it's also extremely fiddly, where there's just a lot of menus and a lot of things to go into and even... I also think that the UI is pretty questionable.
Yeah, I think that's one of the issues, right? When you are role playing and you're role playing as an expert, right? Like Arthur has gone through this rigmarole many times. He basically grew up under Dutch, right? I shouldn't struggle to figure out what eating does, you know, or how to eat, how to feed myself. Right. Like there are basic. Like self-care immersion things that just don't make sense, right? Like, and some of it's a nice touch, right? Like when you go to camp, if you haven't bathed in a while, one of the ladies at camp will forcibly bathe you. That's kind of funny, right? And does encourage you to sort of role play where, hey, you know what? I'm in town. I'm a little dirty. I'm going to take a bath, you know?
Well, and one of the first times I went back into town, I was like, oh, I better shave because I don't want to look like a crazy outlaw here in town and just... you know, attract attention. I was like, that may or may not have mechanical significance, but it was something that got me into the mindset.
Yeah, exactly. And Dutch says, you know, we're laying low here, try not to get too much attention. So
yeah,
there are elements that will encourage you to role play. But I think you're right. There are elements of the UI. There's a lot of confusion as to how to interact with the world, quite literally in terms of what buttons to push. And then more systemically, where to go for what actions and what the outcome of those actions are. So, you know, another good example, you can find legendary furs out in the world and you can use those furs to craft unique, really silly looking like coats and hats and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
The way that you do that though is by selling to the trappers who will then make it. But it's not clear at the outset that when you take the quote unquote sell action, you are then allowing yourself to buy it from them once they craft it. Normally, when you do something like selling gear, that's it. Your gear is gone. You will have to buy it back, right? And so not being clear like that really causes and creates a lot of doubt and uncertainty as to how you're wanting to interact with this particular element of the world. I ended up having to look it up on Reddit. That's not immersion inducing, right? That's not a good role-playing opportunity if you're failing to provide that basic information.
It's funny. I did the exact same thing because I did the quest where it kind of introduces you to the legendary concept, and I killed the legendary grizzly bear. And skin did, and like I had the. It's just, you know, on the positive side, it's also cool that, and again, it goes back to this slow, methodical pace of the game where you have to skin something, and then you have to put the hide on your horse. You have to turn in the hide. You know, it's you have to carry this thing.
Yeah.
But I ran into the same thing as you, where it's like first. I went back to camp and I was like, okay, make me a cool bear outfit. And he said, I gotta go to a trapper or something. I don't know. And I was like, well, where the fuck is this thing then? And so I had to look that up. And then once I even got there, I was like, what? I don't want to sell this to you. I just want you to make something cool. Can I pay you to make something cool?
Yeah.
And they're like, no, sell me the pelt. Sell me the pelt, bro. And I was like, well, okay, back to Reddit I go. And then it was like, oh yeah, I have to sell it. And then I can then buy it, which is really
more
not...
more like Reddit Dead Redemption. Am I right?
there's some oddities there. You know, the other thing that is a departure from some of the more recent open world games that I've played, there is a lot of, especially in the beginning, there's a lot of forcible movement change where, in town or in camp, you can only walk.
Yeah.
And to me, I think I've kind of come full circle on this where I now feel like...
Since the Uncharted days.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, it's... I now look back on that as almost an antiquated thing games did to try to circumvent people being jackasses in games.
Yeah.
And I feel like that decision has, that argument has been decided, and it's just not, you just can't prevent people from being assholes in games. So why punish people who want to just get to one place to another faster?
Well, and then,
and so it's like, and, you know, don't put something arbitrary on top of something just for a tone thing.
Yeah, I mean, on top of that as well, right? You just mentioned all sorts of sort of optional systems for role-playing. If someone wants to opt into those, shouldn't I then also be allowed to opt into role-playing in the camp, whereas I walk around and talk to people, right?
Yeah.
Or like, and then at the same time, I can also play a game where I just fucking burst into a saloon and open fire on everybody, and it's then I pay off my bounty at the post office. Like,
yeah.
I think
it's
not as bad as GTA. In terms of
that
contradiction between those two tones.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. I think it veers a little bit too far into that forced way to experience it without giving you the proper tools to really decide how you want to experience that yourself.
Yeah. I just come back to feeling like this feels very much like a game from 15 years ago or maybe even 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And weirdly, the open world genre has had like a quick evolution basically since kind of the 2010s. And it's just fascinating to see the little different divergent evolutionary paths, and this is one that is just so different from something like Assassin's Creed. It's I don't know, it's fascinating,
you know. And again, it's not something I dislike. It just feels like I wasn't onboarded well enough.
Yeah,
like the tutorial was insufficient. The options of exploring what's actually I'm able to do, the ways that I can interact with the world, even something as simple as like, you know, did you know that there's like six different kinds of weapon rounds, and you can cut X marks into your bullets to make them more powerful. And like, there's all sorts of like little things that it's kind of cool. It's kind of neat. But if I hadn't really been told how that works, then I sort of stumble on it. And I find there's so many of those that you're just sort of stumbling upon that...
There's so much to just remember, period. Where, like, there was a fight where I had... For some reason in my head, I thought the cover button was square.
Yeah.
But it's actually R1.
Yes.
And so I was like, why the fuck am I not getting in cover? And why the fuck does he keep on climbing up every... Oh, I'm pressing the... But it's like I hadn't had to use the cover system for, like, 2 hours.
Yeah.
And so there's just so many different mechanical systems layered on top of each other that it's hard to...
And there's so much... It's a challenge. It's so hard to overstate how much shit there is like that. Like, the fact that in order to eat something, like, you have to hold R1, press R2, press the direction pad, let go of L1, and then you'll eat the thing. But does it fill your like eyeball? Because it might fill your eyeball but lower your energy, so then you're gonna have to eat some crackers that then up your energy but also hurt your health a little bit. Like, it's ridiculous. Or the fact that, did you know Scott, when you punch someone with the lasso equipped, you automatically hogtie them.
Oh, really?
That will happen. I did not know that. Even when you don't want to hogtie them, because people are shooting at you from like a mile away, like, and you accidentally got your lasso out, and now you're dead, like stuff like that. There's just so much of it. I wonder how I'll feel 15 hours from now, 20 hours from now. Like I feel like I've grown more accustomed and I fit more comfortably in the world.
Yeah.
There's less of that jarring contradiction between Arthur, who's familiar with this Western landscape and the way that he survives, and the actual systems that I'm able to interact with.
Yep. I feel completely the same way. I was thinking about that even just last night when I was playing it, and I was like, man, I'm actually more competent in this game. I can feel myself more competent than I was even a couple hours ago, which is, it's an interesting thing for a game that isn't, it's not a strategy game or a Dark Souls game or something. Yeah. Whereas I generally feel like my competency level has a really steep ramp at the beginning,
right,
and then it just is competent for the rest of the game. And like, this is a much more gradual curve. Yeah.
And certainly more so than the first Red Dead. Like I remember in the first Red Dead, the tutorial about how to wrangle a horse and get your, find your own horse. And it was like, oh, let's go and get you a horse or whatever. And this game, mm-hmm. you buy one. And it was only until literally tonight when I realized, oh, I can scan horses in the same way that I can scan, like predators and rabbits and deer and stuff, and it will tell me their stats. So now I know I can come back to this area, scout out a dope ass horse, lasso it, and make it my own. You know,
yeah,
that's a cool way of knowing, like, oh, you know, I can now interact with the world in much the same way Link can in Breath of the Wild. I can go and pursue and find my own cool special horse. That's awesome. Yeah. Why did I have to figure this out on my own accidentally 15, 16 hours into the game?
Well, it's because comparing those two games is fascinating because they try to do many of the similar things, but they go about it in vastly different ways, where Red Dead mechanizes everything.
Mm-hmm.
Everything has a stat, everything has a button to press, everything has a meter to fill up, and Breath of the Wild is much more observational, where, you know, the horses that are this color will generally exhibit this behavior and you have to watch them for this behavior, where you're basically doing the same thing. You're trying to pick the strongest, fastest horse, but their systems and the way that they communicate those things are actually quite different from each other, even though you're doing the same sort of action. And it's just super interesting to see such divergent paths to what is ostensibly the same end.
Well, that's kind of our first impressions on the systems, the mechanics, which is it's a long one, and I think it's one of the most striking elements of this. I think it's something that everyone will be confronted by within the first few hours of playing. My guess,
I could easily see someone just bouncing off this game immediately
for sure,
being like, man, this feels slow and crazy,
especially if they never played Red Dead, the first one. That would be very jarring. I think enough people have, and the reputation precedes it, such that I think a lot of people are playing this game right now. They're already just as far, if not farther, than you and I are, which is exciting. In terms of the story, though, what are the things you like? Is anything standing out? Are you into it? How do you feel about revisiting Dutch from this angle?
I mean, it's kind of like the mechanics. It takes a little while to ramp up, but the more time I spend, the more interesting I find it. I'm really looking forward to seeing, I generally don't really like prequels that much, but I am looking forward to seeing how this all disintegrates.
And it feels like we're not quite there yet, but there are elements, we're not close. There's a lot of conversations that will happen off to the side or in the background, right? So for example, I was in camp and I overheard Dutch talking to someone, I think it was Uncle, and was saying like, oh, I fucked up back in Blackwater, right? Because the very premise of this game, if a listener hasn't been playing yet, is that there was some huge heist that happened in Blackwater that Arthur wasn't involved in. He'd wanted to do some other heist. And disaster struck, two people died, someone got arrested, and all of the money is stuck in Blackwater, which is currently full of Pinkertons.
Yeah.
And Dutch taking culpability was kind of interesting because it's like, man, you know, we know from Marston's story that Dutch isn't the sort of reputable father figure that he seems to claim to be, and that the family sort of crumbled at some point. I'm at a point now where I'm wondering, like, man, does Dutch just go and like take the money? Is this all like a setup? What's the, you know, what's the actual goal here? There are times when it feels like Dutch isn't actually acting in the best interest. Like, there are people in the game who are part of his crew who will make reference to, like, look, we know that this has to end at some point. And maybe our goal is to get this money, find a way to get this money, move out west, buy a plot of land, and start new lives. I assume, ethical lives, right? Be farmers, be homesteaders, or whatever. But it never quite feels like that's actually what Dutch wants. So maybe that'll be the conflict. I don't know.
There's a quest line or something where they mention some things that sound even more heinous, where it's like, you know, they said something like, oh, you know, Dutch killed that girl and in a bad way or something like that. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is... And we know that eventually Dutch kind of goes kind of Colonel Kurtz at the end of, you know, Red Dead 1, and they have to go in and he kind of completely flies off the handle and loses a lot more of his sanity. And I think that's cool to see the beginnings of that. But it's also cool to see what maybe drew people to him as a charismatic figure in the first place.
Yeah, for sure.
But I mean, I guess I kind of underestimated how much I would remember, but like Bill Williamson was like a major antagonist in that first game.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, fucking Bill Williamson.
Bill Williamson, son of a bitch.
Well, I should put a bullet in you right now and save myself a lot of trouble later. Like, it's, I think seeing how that stuff will unfold is interesting. I don't remember if they mentioned Arthur in Red Dead 1. Do you remember?
I don't think they do. I think he's pretty unknown. I mean, a lot of the posse is there, right? Like Javier Escuela and stuff. But yeah, I don't think Arthur's really a major key focal point. So I assume something goes down between him and Marston and the gang before this game ends.
There is some sort of tension between Marston and Arthur. It's funny. It's also amusing to me that basically Arthur and a few others in the camp basically treat Marston like a bumbling idiot.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even his wife is like, fucking Marston left camp again. And it's just like, fucking Marston. Yeah. I like that quite a bit. I mean, I really enjoy knowing the outcome of Red Dead while playing Red Dead 2, because I know where Marston goes. You know, I know how inescapable his fate is, you know?
Yeah.
And there's a couple of lines of, you know, I think at one point some Pinkertons show up and they mention, like, you know, there's all this like threatening, like, oh, we always get our mark, or, you know, the government will like chase you down and they're always hunting you. And it's like, yeah, man, like that's what the whole second game is about. Like, they will hunt you to the ends of the earth for sure.
Yeah. I that stuff is to me is pretty well done, and I'm looking for that's obviously the main quest, so I'm looking forward to just seeing more of that. And then I am interested to see what they do with some more of the side stuff. I don't know. I just don't know. I'm not far enough in, but they're going to have to deal with American Indians at a certain point.
Yeah.
They're probably going to deal with, you know, post Civil War fallout.
Yeah. It's an interesting time period, right? Like 1899 is when it's set.
I believe so.
There's a line pretty early where they mention, they're talking to Charles, I think, who I believe is half Indian. Half African American.
Yeah.
And, they're talking about like his lineage. And I think Uncle is talking about how he heard out west the government was especially brutal to the Indians, and Charles is like, well, how do you be especially brutal?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Which is a really interesting conversation, but also like genocide is how you be more brutal, you know?
Yeah. I'm interested in that too. They have a lot, there's just a lot that they can explore. And so it'll be cool to see more of those side stories. And also I do wonder if they will do any of the quasi mystical stuff, like the mysterious stranger quests.
So far I haven't seen anything mystical. I really want to hunt a Yeti though, so if they don't put a fucking Yeti in this game, I'm gonna be pissed. I did run into a guy. I mean, there are, I think they added a bit more of the random NPC encounters. Like, there's a lot of events that will just, I think you can tell are scripted, in the sense that once you're there, something scripted will happen. But when you bump into them, there's a mystery, right? So I had a really weird event where I bumped into a guy who was trying to wrangle his horse, and then the horse kicked him into the head and he died. And I was like, and so I looted the body and like lost rank. Oh, by the way, I really dislike that they have a morality tracker.
So even that feels very old. Yeah. I mean, it makes the game feel old.
Yeah. I mean, especially the same shit where it's like, no one was around to see me loot that guy. Also, the horse killed him. It wasn't me. Why did I lose reputation? Is there like some...
It'd be silly to leave this tonic here. No one's going to drink it.
It's like fucking TMZ in the bushes with binoculars, like writing this up in the fucking Valentine Gazette. Why is my reputation going down? Ludicrous. Yeah.
Well, it makes a weird, back to the themes versus the mechanics. It's a weird false dichotomy of this person is an outlaw. I mean, who cares? By what standard are you measuring this person? Yeah. It's weird to have this omnipotent force dictating whether you are a moral person or an immoral person based off of what standard.
Yeah.
You know, who has decided the moral standard of this in-game? It's like some faceless god that we can never see nor, you know, have any insight into.
Yeah. Well, on top of that, I mean, I've largely ignored it, and mostly because it's Arthur himself who's like, I'm a bad man. He consistently tells people, I'm a bad man. You know, he'll go and do missions for people that are as mundane as just rob someone's house. You know, or go steal my cousin pissed me off, so go steal this cart from him and then beat him up a little bit, and he'll go do those things without question. And he doesn't seem like a patsy either. You know, Arthur doesn't strike me as a guy that just is doing what he's told to do. He's like basically second in command to Dutch, right?
Yeah,
it seems a lie to go through this game as though I'm trying to pursue a moral passage. Like, I'm not going to rob anyone, or I'm not going to interact with the world that would cause me to lose my reputation. That's a pointless game to play, because that's not who Arthur says he is. And
it's not even his goal. Like, his goal is to, like, maybe escape this life or to figure out what he wants to do. And it's like, he clearly has no compunctions about the way he does it.
Yeah, and I'm open to the idea that, you know, maybe he does want to... It's freedom at all costs, and he doesn't want to hurt the little guy, but he'll rob from the rich and give to the poor. I'm okay with that concept, but there's so many things that happen early on where he doesn't really behave that way, you know? So I've never had any issue doing the bad thing and putting on my little fucking cowboy mask, which I still don't know if it does anything.
I actually forgot that you could do that until you said that just now.
Yeah, I do it all the time. It's my little role-playing thing. But I still get bounties out in my head when I'm wearing it, so I'm not quite sure how effective it is when everyone's like, there's the guy with that fucking crazy, weird, buffalo white albino hat. Like, okay, it's clearly
Oh, no, but he covered his face. We have no clue who he is.
Who is that man with those buffalo horns? Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm enjoying it quite a bit. I'm really excited to play more. We'll see.
I feel like it's weird because I sense that we are both fairly ambivalent about it, but I'm enjoying this game academically very much right now.
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily enjoying it on a, you know, on a primal, I just love to play this game type of level, but I'm hopeful that, you know, that will turn the corner at some point and it'll be both. 'Cause that's what the first game was.
Yeah. And I think the other thing too, is I'm really trying hard to not look at this game with rose colored glasses because of my strong feelings towards the first Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to just be satisfied with it because it rekindles that old flame, you know?
Yeah.
And I think to that end, I'm willing to be overly critical in this first impressions discussion. Right.
Yeah.
I think when it comes time to measure this game, at the end of the day, it's going to rely so heavily on like how it explores those themes and how it sets up certain Western set pieces. Like, we've had one train robbery, but that's really it so far. A couple of like breaking your buddy out of jail heists. There's some like cool, iconic Western stuff, but it doesn't seem to be... We're not at that point yet in the story where it's really in conversation with both that like Western mythology and the history.
Yeah.
And I think
that's true.
And I think that's where I'll end up measuring it, so...
Yeah. Ooh. Well, if there's one thing this has made me want to do, it's go play more of this freaking game. Yeah. So I guess mission accomplished, Rockstar.
It is. I mean, and it's a long one, right? Like 70, 75 hours or something. You know, the one thing I'm really bummed about yet is not being able to play multiplayer. I would just love to be able to just hop in your game and just cowboy through the West, you know?
Because what, that's coming in a month or something? Like, they're...
I guess, but it feels like something that would be really interesting to have in, from a co-op experience, you know? Even just like if I played as Javier or Uncle or some other rando, you know, it might be cool to just sort of like actually posse up. I don't need all sorts of minigames. Like, I'm willing to just do it just to hunt buffalo.
What if you jump in my game and it's like, all right, Scott, let's go. I'm like, sorry, George, playing dominoes for the next 3 hours. Check back in a little while.
Hell yeah. I mean, why ever play online poker when I could play poker in Red Dead?
And you have to painstakingly shuffle the cards and flip your chip into the middle.
How rad would it be if there were servers that were like, you know, five finger fillet or whatever, servers yeah. only, and just like a bunch of people betting like real world cash on cutting their own digital fingers off? That would be sweet.
All right. Well, we're going to get back to it. We will return to this game at some point for kind of ending impressions. But for now, we'll leave it there. ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And ExperiencePoints.net is our hideout in the woods. Mosey along on over. Leave us a review, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you happen to find your podcasts.
Cool. All right, everyone. Until next time, thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
So long.
$1 each and $3 for $2. Ring dang do. Now what is that? Salt and round like pussy. And got a hole in the middle and it's split in two. And that's what they call ring dang do.